Today, you know, our commitment here is to bring value to your lives. You see some of the things that we do at advancedliving.com to help relieve stress and support you. And then week after week, we're here to bring guests to you who have amazing value to make your lives better and to do it easily. We're not looking at something that takes 10 years to work for you. We want to have results and we want to have them quicker. And today, oh, you're in for a treat. I mean, who out there hasn't played in the world of romance and perhaps had a thing or two go wrong? Probably, if you're human, you've been through this. Well, we have an amazing guest today, and I want you to get ready, because once in a while we see a woman whose powerful presence and charismatic ways have tantalized, stimulated, and captivated us on TV screens, like with the role as in Sesame Street as a young child in Dynasty. And she's had Hollywood experience with roles in feature films playing opposite some of the Hollywood elite talent. And what is even rarer and so much more compellingly beautiful is when one of these women have a desire to take their intense traumas, the challenges of their lives, their losses, setbacks, and turn them into the healing balm to soothe the pain of millions of others with broken hearts. Yes, there's a lot of that out there. And get ready. Troy Byers today is going to share with us, because of all her talent and ability, she went beyond her traumas and developed a passion that goes beyond show business and into her love of writing and leading transformational seminars. And after 6 years of intense training in ontology, which is the design of being human, Troy became a certified senior seminar leader for Landmark Education. You've probably heard of the Forum, a global transformational organization. Yes, well, today we have an opportunity to meet Troy Byers and listen to her, to someone who can help us to go beyond the veil of illusion and deception created when we are living shallow lives with the bondage of lots of repressed or tragically expressed feelings. And we know what those are like. And she has come through the fires of her own emotional hell. I mean, some of this intense, intense trauma to touch the depth of her soul, and with her work and her new book, to touch our souls. And she has emerged into one of those unique, highly evolved spiritual souls who walk among us to make this world a better place with the overflowing compassion in her heart and, on top of that, the skills to lead us from the battlefields of gaping emotional wounds to the oasis of a divine, exquisite love within ourselves that we can share with others. So get ready. We are welcoming our wonderful guest today, Troy Byers. Troy, hello.
Hi, Ken. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful welcome.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Now, we're going to, because there's probably some people out there who are dealing with some emotional issues, especially around breakups and dealing with exes of some sort, ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, you name it. And we'll open the lines in case there's someone out there as we get into the show. Our toll-free number for the U.S. is 877-876-5227. For U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756. Other parts of the world, 530-876-3222. Now, Troy, perhaps you can get us started with maybe something a little bit of your background that helped you build the passion, and then tell us about, because, you know, heartbreak is pretty rampant, what do we do with the pain?
Well, in terms of my background, as you said, I did a lot of intensive training with Landmark Education, and I started studying ontology on my own. I became very interested in the design of being human, like what does it mean to be human? And one of the things that we deal with ongoingly as human beings is pain. You know, it's just part of the growth process. Nothing grows in comfort. There's pain. It's inevitable. But I started realizing that suffering was optional, and a lot of my participants were suffering from heartbreak. And that was their question, what do I do with the pain? Well, you have to choose what's there. You know, you can't bury the pain. The more you try to bury it, the bigger its presence actually becomes in your life, because what we resist will exist and persist. So what there is to do with the pain is to befriend the pain, because it's not going anywhere. And like your best friend, it's there to tell you something. It's there to let you know that there is something that needs to be transformed, something that needs to be resolved. It's, you know, something that we should be grateful for, because it's also a gauge to let us know when we're healing, how fast we're healing, and if we're not healing at all. So the best thing to do is to embrace the pain and let it be your friend. It's there to help you.
Wow. Okay, so that's important, because we live in a country where relieving the pain is like it's a national mantra. And you're reminding us, wait a minute, that may not be the best course of action. So, now, what can we do, when we're dealing with this heartbreak, I know part of your book talks about a crutch, and can you give us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. When we are in pain, sometimes we need support. If you break your leg, you need to reach for a crutch to support you. So I say that when we are suffering from heartbreak, when we are experiencing pain, the crutches are a necessary part of the healing process. However, it's very important to be able to distinguish the difference between your crutch and your leg and or whatever it is that needs to be healed. And what happens is sometimes we depend so much on our crutch that we forget that our crutch is not the issue. Our crutch is there because there is some sort of emotional amputation or some sort of emotional issue that we're dealing with, and so we reach for the crutch, but then we forget that, you know, the crutch is there to help us get to the source of something else. So I think it's important that we own our crutches, we know what they are, and that we own them so we're not being owned by them. And I highly recommend crutches, absolutely. You know, I don't think that anyone should take on, you know, any sort of healing process without some sort of support, because you just can't always do it alone. So if your crutch is some sort of group that you participate in, or if it's, you know, exercising or, you know, music or what have you, I think it's really important to find that source that brings the solace and crutch your way through your painful experience until you're healed and able to stand on your own.
Ah, okay. So no feeling bad about reaching out for some help and having some support. That's just fine. We need it until we get enough strength.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's imperative. You know, a lot of people, when they're dealing with heartbreak, more often than not, Ken, I think that they're, you know, first they're ashamed and they feel rejected and they feel abandoned. And then they probably, they usually talk to their friends a lot, and their friends get to the point where I don't want to hear it anymore. And so what happens is isolation sets in and they find themselves alone trying to deal with this. And it's just really important to get out there in the world, be in communication with people, find your crutch, use it until you can stand strong on your own again. So I'm definitely an advocate of support.
Oh, okay. Well, that's important. And one of the things that I want to invite our listeners to be aware of is your website and your new book, X-Free, 9 Keys to Freedom After Heartbreak.
Yes.
Would you share that, please?
So X-Free, 9 Keys to Freedom After Heartbreak is a book that I wrote. I wrote it because my friends were inspiring me to write it. They couldn't understand how I could go through such a tumultuous divorce with my ex-husband and then within a year's time become best friends with him. And what I realized is that the marriage was certainly not consistent with anything that I'd ever hoped for myself personally. But I never had a hope for a divorce, so I didn't have any preconceived ideas of what my divorce should look like, and I decided that I could make a choice. It could either be very unhappy or it could be happy. So I chose to have a happy divorce, and then I actually did the work on myself in order to make sure that the divorce was a happy one. And my friends thought I was absolutely out of my mind, but because I'd done all this ontology work, I understood as a being what it would take for me to experience the divorce in a happy space. And one of the things that I talk about in X-Free and Freedom from the Heartbreak is you are not your circumstances. That's one of the keys.
Perfect.
Yes. That's so although I was going through the divorce, doesn't mean I am a divorce, right?
Yes. I love the example that you give in that chapter about if we're in a rainstorm, we may be getting wet, it may be inconvenient, but we don't ever think of ourselves as rain.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's a circumstance you're experiencing, but it doesn't have to be who you are.
Yes.
So I got to choose who I was going to be in the face of the divorce no matter what, and the circumstances would be what they would be, but I would not collapse myself with my circumstances. So that really is how the book came about. And there are nine keys. And, you know, one key is make pain your new best friend. And the other key is own your crutch. And the other one is, as we just discussed, you're not your circumstances. And then there are six other keys that are equally powerful that really allow people to stand strong in the face of heartbreak. You can't escape it. We're human. We're going to have feelings, but you don't have to collapse yourself with that experience. And that's where the detriment lies, is when we collapse ourselves with what we are feeling.
In other words, that's about this thing about you're not your circumstances. Could you expound a little bit more on how we might be able to avoid getting ourselves connected to our experience and separate ourselves from that? So something's going on, but it's not us, and we have to deal with it, but we're still good.
Right. Well, I think the access to that is to anchor yourself in who you're committed to being for yourself no matter what. So as I was looking at my circumstances, which, you know, were consistent with divorce, which is dealing with being a single mother and trying to find a place to live and figure out where my son would go to school, these are all circumstances, and this is what I work with my clients on, is really anchoring yourself in who you're going to be no matter what. And there's an exercise, the book, you know, has a workbook inside of it, and there's an exercise that you actually get to do where you get to choose who you're going to be. And once you choose who you're going to be, Ken, then you can anchor yourself in that knowingness, and really, no matter what happens, you get to choose how you show up in the face of your circumstances once you choose who you're going to be. Now, if you don't choose, then your circumstances will choose for you. But it's imperative that we consciously choose who we're going to be in life. We're human beings.
Yes. One of the things, if I can share this, when you go out there and buy the book, folks, and you get to page 44, you're in for a treat, I think, because Troy invites us to get in touch. What's the five big, I sometimes call them dragons or issues or problems, what's the stuff that's most challenging to you? And we list them, and then I love the way you invite us to go into the future a year to where that's all handled, and give ourselves a treat of actually seeing and feeling and hearing and experiencing what it would be like to have all that stuff handled.
Yeah, right, because we live our lives as human beings. We have this wonderful, well, not wonderful, I'm being a little sarcastic there, but we have a tendency to manage ourselves as if we need to transform circumstances in order for us to have what we want in life. So once we have the money, then we can be happy. once we have the weight loss, then we can be happy. And the whole purpose of that exercise is to say, okay, all those challenges are now gone. Now, who would you be being if they were gone? Okay, well, consider that that's not the bridge to who you get to be. Pull that out of the equation and just be it.
Mm.
It's really that simple. Isn't that great?
Wow. Yes. That's what I love about your work. Now, on your website, I wasn't sure. It might be my browser. Are we able to get the book on to your website or somewhere else? Or what?
Yeah, actually, my book is... excuse me, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, my book is available at through Amazon.com.
Okay.
And Barnes & Noble, and it will be available in bookstores in a few months. But right now, we're actually pre-selling it on Amazon.com.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And then people can go to... Troy Circle, like TroyCircle.com.
Yes, they can, right, to find out more about the book, find out more about me. But if anyone is interested in ordering the book, it's a 2-day delivery, and it is available through Amazon.com, yes.
Okay. Oh, I highly, highly recommend it. This is just so wonderful. Something else that I invite the listeners to do is to go in your website and click on, I believe it's Troy Talks, where people have sent in different things. I guess they can do a video presentation or an email talking about a circumstance in their life and get support from you. Is that right?
Absolutely, absolutely. If you have a webcam, you can put yourself on the webcam. You can either address any of the topics there in the drop-down menu, or you could share something that is going on in your personal life, and I will respond via webcam to whatever it is you make a request about.
Mm. Wow. That is excellent. I mean, and are there fees for this? Is this something you
no.
offer?
No.
No.
No fees. The only fee is happiness. I'm committed to creating a world that works for everyone. And no fees. The only fee is everyone's happiness.
Okay. Folks, did you hear that? I mean, we have a trained professional that has led international seminars that have transformed millions of people's lives, this landmark forum, and done her own independent studies, been through it personally, come out the other side. How many people out there can say, they went through a really demanding, hard divorce, and within a year were best friends with their ex-spouse and able, if I'm understanding correctly, to go hang out with them on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We take our vacations together. My life partner and I travel with my ex-husband and his fiance, and our children play together. And we realize as adults it's very important that we have ourselves together, our acts together, for the sake of the children that we're collectively raising. My ex-husband is my best friend.
Mm.
And it wasn't always that way, really. I mean, our divorce is better than our marriage ever, ever was. And it's because I was willing to do the personal inventory, look at these 9 keys to freedom, because freedom is an inside job, and it starts with me. It had nothing to do with him. He was just the trigger that actually was igniting some issues from my past that were in need of being transformed. So he was a wonderful catalyst, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things that I want to recommend is people go to your website and click on Troy Talks, because I don't know if it will stay there, but the first one that I saw was a video from someone, a fellow I think in the Chicago area, that was writing in because his wife was cheating on him and admitted to sleeping with her boss. And and traveling extensively with her boss and apologizing to the husband, and the husband being in all kinds of a conflicted state because, well, what do I do? Can you share a little bit of how you helped him?
Right. Well, with his case, it's pretty much, it applies to everyone. You know, I always say if you can see it somewhere, you're being it. And the bottom line is he was seeing cheating in his life, so what I asked him to do is to look and see where it is in his life that he is cheating on himself, and his wife's actions are just a physical manifestation of some inner conflict that he's been dealing with. So that's basically the advice I gave him, because he was at a loss of power, a complete loss of power, unless he was going to run around and dominate his wife for the rest of their marriage and spy on her or make her quit her job, and that would be absolutely exhausting. So when I work with my clients, one thing I'm really clear about, Ken, is that if they are coming to see me to discuss their relationship with someone else, I really can't do anything about that other person. All we can ever be responsible for is ourselves. So it's, you know, I have this wonderful thing. It's probably hard to see it over the, understand what I'm saying over the phone, but if you point at someone else, you've got three other fingers pointing back at you. And you see, I just think everything starts within.
Ah, okay. And the phrase that you used, something about if you see it out there?
If you can see it somewhere, you're being it.
If you can see it somewhere, so if something is showing up in our lives and we're not happy about it, then you're prompting us to say, okay, well, we might not like it out there, but let's take a moment and look at inside ourselves and see how we are doing something like that to ourselves.
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, for me, everything originates as thought. And so if there's something going on in the physical realm in my life and I can actually see it, then I know that somewhere it originated within because, you know, life is always an inside job. And I created that. That's a manifestation of my thoughts. It's, you know, something that I created for whatever reason. I needed to see who I'm being. It's hard for us to see ourselves. You know, it's like a fish doesn't know water until a fish is taken out of water.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's water, right? So we don't actually get that opportunity enough. So I think the way that the universe lets us know what there is to transform is by showing us, giving us a front row view, whether it be our spouse or, you know, our children. And if we're seeing it somewhere, we're being it. And that works both ways, you know. If you're seeing something that's really positive and powerful, if you're seeing it, then somewhere you're being it. Or, you know, so I think in the spiritual world, there's really no right or wrong. There's just information. You know, and right or wrong is a matter of perception. So if you're seeing it, somewhere you're being it. And, you know, your perception will inform you as to whether it's positive or negative.
Yes. Yes. Wow. See, to me, that is so important. And I like some of the stuff that you shared in response to this gentleman because he had an opportunity to one, take a look at himself. And then I think you shared with him a couple of options. Because you invited him, or as you would invite all of us, if there's something like relationship breakup, heartbreak, something that's not working, one, before we go around pointing fingers at other people, to take a look at ourselves, and then you encouraged him with, what was it, I guess a couple of options to improve his life, and then see what happened. They might stay together, they might not. Can you share a little bit more about those kind of circumstances?
Right, sure. Yeah, what I wanted him to really understand is that if he's seeing cheating somewhere, he's being it. If he wants to transform that which he's seeing that's not acceptable, then he would have to transform it in himself. He couldn't go and change his wife. So I asked him to look and see where in his life had he, you know, was he cheating on himself? Where did he sell out on himself? Maybe he wasn't pursuing the career of his dreams, or maybe he gave up on, you know, something else that meant a lot to him. But somewhere he was cheating on himself, which is why cheating was showing up in his world. And so the assignment that I asked him to take on is to make a list of all the areas in his life that he may have sold out on himself and find one area that he cheated on himself and really handle it. Handle it in such a way that he's restored and he's empowered and he doesn't feel like he's cheating on himself, but he actually feels like he's in action and causing something that he's really been passionate about but gave up on. And I think once we start powerfully dealing with whatever it is that we're seeing, but once we start dealing with it from our own perspective and our own personal lives, then it will disappear. It can't exist if it's transformed. It'll actually go into nothing, and in the space of nothing, you can create anything. So I was suggesting that once he did that, that his wife would show up as a different person. Once he started showing up as a different person for himself, he would start seeing something different in the people that he was relating to and interacting with in his life.
Ah, yeah, and to me it was fascinating. I seem to recall a couple of choices that by him changing, it would open the door for a change in her, which might mean that she would then, by his example of treating himself in a better way, not cheating on himself, that she might respond to that by not cheating on him anymore, or by lifting himself up, she might not respond to his higher vibration or his advancement in his life handling issues, which would mean that he would open the door for someone that was more aligned with his better vibration.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, if he's vibrating at a frequency of cheating, which is what you really said, and just to add to that, if you're vibrating at a certain frequency, you'll be a match for that. And once you shift that frequency and you start vibrating at a different frequency, you'll be a match for that. So once he shifts his frequency that's consistent with the vibration of cheating, once he shifts that, there's no other cheating frequency that actually can get into his space, you know. You just can't.
Mm. And I guess as part of that process, you mentioned pick an area and then bring that in, bring some resolution to an area where he, you know, perhaps, you know, he hadn't done some of the stuff in taking care of his body, exercise, or not shown up for himself in some career advancement. There's many different ways we might have sold ourselves short.
Right, but just pick one area, right, which is right, because it's what I call a polycrest remedy. If you pick one area, it's infectious. It actually will take care of everything.
Ah.
You know?
Folks, did you know that? You don't have to work on every single one of them.
No, absolutely not. Pick the one that is the most inspiring to you and give it your all. And what will happen is that it's like putting one drop of something in water. Say you put one drop of dye in a glass of water, then that eventually that whole glass will be, you know, it will be permeated by that red one drop. It changes the energy of it.
Okay. Boy, talk about a wonderful thing. And I guess a lot of it works because you're picking something that has some intensity to it, and by handling that one, it just kind of gets the other ones that weren't as intense, they just sort of line up and go, oh, that's what you want. Okay.
Right. Well, that's what I also, you know, Ken, I really appreciate the depth in which you are, you watched Troy Talks. Thank you. I'm really impressed.
You're welcome.
That's really great. I feel like you could actually do the next show. Thank you.
Thank you. Got a few years of training that I haven't done that you have, so I'm just honored to have you as a guest and share from your living experience of not just offering important information, but having walked through those fires, found your way out, and then created a pathway that is simplified. I mean, we're not talking about 10,000-page book or 1,000-page book or 400-page book. I mean, this is major life transformation in about 100 pages.
That's right.
And the print's large, folks. So you can, it's like, wow, is what I got to say about that. Now, the next chapter, I love this thing about know the boat you float.
Know the boat you float, yes.
You know, I guess we were thinking about, you know, I guess talking about heartbreak being a result of being romantically mismatched in the first place.
Yeah. That's interesting. We you know, what happens in relationships is that we choose people for various reasons. Unfortunately, we usually choose people because they actually are bringing something to the table that we feel that we don't possess, or something we'd like to possess more of. But more often than not, we choose people because we are being informed by an inadequacy that we have. And as a result, we end up choosing ships that we're not related to. So speaking in a metaphor here, if people were ships, it's imperative that we choose ships that we are related to inherently so that we will navigate the tumultuous sea of life with some consistency and some affinity. And I was thinking, how can I get people to understand how important it is that their ships are related? Because if you're a steamboat, you have no business dating a dinghy. I mean, they're going to boil, you're going to just get steamed away, right?
Yes.
You know, most dinghies are made out of rubber, and you know, their job is to rescue, and they're pretty stagnant. They stay in one place. A steamboat needs to, you know, steamroll right over you. And so in that particular chapter in the book, I created, like I said, as a metaphor, personality traits of boats that would be consistent with a human being. And so that the reader can look and see, okay, who am I? Am I a rowboat? Am I a ferry? Am I a speedboat? And you can look and see, okay, who was my ex? So for me, I'm a ferry. I love being a large sea vessel that transports people from point A to point B. I love having people around. I'm very consistent. I do the same thing every day, pretty much. You know, I'm always on the schedule. I love structure, mm-hmm. excuse me. And so I'm a ferry. There's no doubt about it. But my ex-husband is a seaplane. He doesn't want structure. The last thing he needs is structure. It'll clip his wings. He likes to dive in and dive out and be free to go and do this. And there's just no compatibility to our ships, you know. We're not related.
Ah, okay. So it's not a right or wrong. It's about compatibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, a steamboat is no more, you know, in fault for being a steamboat than a platform raft is, you know, would be at any fault for being a platform raft. But Ken, I'm interested. Were you able to distinguish what you were?
I guess I like a lot of consistency in supporting people. So that was the one that kind of came to me, was this ferry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that with you. I would say a ferry or a rowboat.
Okay.
Because you're very steady. You're very steady. You're very focused and dependable.
Ah, now, our listeners can learn a little bit. Can you talk a bit about the rowboat, too?
Sure. A rowboat personality knows exactly where they're going. They're so certain that they're headed in a direction that's right for them that they don't even face that direction as they're going. They actually face with their back towards the direction they're headed.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Very good. They see by faith, not by sight. They are very consistent in their movements, and the way that they row the oars is very, very consistent. They're happy to take other people along for a ride. They're not going to ask you to take an oar, but if you like to, just make sure that you're as skilled as they are. Otherwise, you'll sort of take them off course, but, you know, they'll get you back on. And they're just very, very, very point A to point B as well. They're very much about structure, but they're very strong-minded individuals. They don't want anyone telling them which direction to go. They've chosen their path, and it's the way they want to go, and you can count on them to get you there.
Hmm. Okay. Wow. And I can relate to some of that, too. So you have a recommendation here, I guess, in this chapter, that a person go through these different things and then figure out what they are and then be able to connect with people that are similar, as you would call it, the similar boats that you're floating.
Right. So if you were a rowboat, you could see how a speedboat probably wouldn't be a good choice for you.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's kind of obvious.
Uh-huh.
You know, a speedboat would totally take you off course, you know, zipping here and zipping there and da-da-da-da. But a ferry would be good for you. A dinghy would be for you. A platform raft would be good for you. A sailboat would be a challenge, but certainly you would want to just stay away from seaplanes and speedboats and stuff like that. So sometimes it's hard for people to really see what's going on with their exes because there's so much of an emotional charge around the experience.
Yeah.
So my intention was to remove that emotional charge from them personally by having them identify with some other sort of object.
Yeah.
And then if they can hold that object up against another object, it gives them a bird's eye view of really what was missing, the presence of which might have made a difference in their relationship.
Wow. Okay. So you've probably seen that Pixar movie Cars.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm now seeing an animation of these boats that float.
Oh, wonderful.
And stories, and the net result of this is not only is it entertaining because the boats are fun. I mean, we've got the submarine. You got to get the book, folks. You got the submarine and the steamboat and the speedboat and the seaplane and sailboat and platform raft. I mean, you know, we fit in here somewhere. And then to be able to have them through playing out their lives and interacting with each other, give us some powerful lessons.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great idea. We should go pitch that in Hollywood next weekend.
I'd like to. I think it would be fabulous.
Great.
And now what I'm wondering about, for some people, are you finding that they can read that chapter and pretty well make a determination about where they would fit or their exes would fit? You're finding it, or some people need a little more assistance, and if they do, how do they go about getting that?
Well, I think that the boats that I have there and the descriptions of the boat will capture enough. It creates enough examples so that you can get the essence of which ship best represents you.
Hmm.
You
okay.
See, I think it does. My friend read it, and she goes, "You forgot one boat." And I said, "What's that?" She goes, "A tugboat. I got five kids." I said, "Okay, great. I could get that. We might want to add a tugboat." So, but you know, even now I could look at that and say, well, you know, a tugboat could be also the characteristics of a tugboat are also consistent with a steamboat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's applicable. I mean, it's not going to be dead on, but it's enough for you to get a sense of who you are and who your ex is or was. And then you can make a comparative, a comparison between the two.
All right, good. Well,
and if you can't, I offer free coaching for anyone who's reading the book, by the way.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So they would basically either do a video cam or send you an email by going to troycircle.com?
Absolutely. Anyone who's reading the book, just send me. I actually have coaches that work with me, so most likely it will be me, and if it's not me, it will be one of my freedom coaches, and we are very committed that people understand and are able to click with and work each of the keys in the book.
Ah, okay, so you'll be setting up a team of people, because I was beginning to imagine with how good this book is and how easy it is to follow, and for in my opinion, I've studied personal growth stuff for 20 years, that there's just a lot of people, a large percentage of people that are going to be able to benefit from just applying what you've got into the book here. And this is one of the most simple paths to claiming some freedom, especially around an intense area dealing with our exes. So, I mean, this is profound work that I want to acknowledge you for.
Well, thank you, Ken. I appreciate that.
Now,
I really do. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you, Troy. Get ready, world. if you haven't played with, in Troy's ocean of fun, you're in for a treat.
Oh, thank you.
I'm wondering, getting to talk about exes and your experience. I know when there's a breakup, sometimes that's not the happiest time, typically. What are you thinking of people really thinking about their exes when they break up?
I think when people break up, there's two things that happen. One is, how could I have been such a poor judge of character?
Mm-hmm.
Is one question that might be floating through the minds of people who are dealing with breakups. And the second one is, how dare they do this to me?
Ah.
You see, so it's how dare they do this to me, or how dare I do this to me by being a poor judge of character. It's the same hand, it's just different sides, Ken.
Ah.
But that's usually the two most prevalent perspectives on breakup. And what I say is to get away from the how dare I do this or how dare you do this, and just look and see, what is the gift that I can take from this experience? There's a gift. There's a gift in every experience, and that's why I have a whole chapter on knowing the treasure you hunt in the book. Because there is something that particular person brought to the relationship that you either felt you didn't have enough of or you wanted to have in your life. It's a compensation factor. So we look for people to complete us. So somehow, somewhere, there was a moment in time where the individual that you were with presented something that appeared to you as a treasure, and you wanted to possess that treasure. Well, the gift in breaking up with someone is understanding that you could not want anything that you didn't already have, because you wouldn't know to want it. You wouldn't miss it if you didn't already have it. So instead of the how dare they do this to me, or how dare I, you know, how could I have done this to myself, I really encourage people to look at the gift. What is it that brought you into the relationship? There's one thing, and that's the thing that you need to get that you already possess.
Wow. So that's where you talk about in Chapter 5, this find the treasure you hunt.
Right, exactly. Find the treasure you hunt. And we think we have to find it out there on someone else's ship. And then when the person goes, we miss that treasure. That's what we miss the most. Well, I really, really wanted to get this across to the listeners, and it was my intention that my readers understand, is that we can never miss anything if we didn't already have it. So whatever that treasure is, you already possess it. You just forgot. And there's a whole exercise to help you remember when you forgot in the book.
Ah, okay. Wow, that's wonderful. And here's something that's kind of tantalizing and current for me. You know, when you talk about why do people break up, and is it possible for them to get back together and start anew?
Right. Well, yes, right. Because sometimes you don't want to complete the relationship, but there's many different forms of completion. And that's the whole key, is finding the labels that work for you. And what gets us in a relationship is not necessarily what will keep us in a relationship. So it's important to always check in with yourself and check in with your partner, and make sure that you are labeling the context of your relationship as something that absolutely you want defining you. Do you understand what I mean by that, Ken?
Could you describe a label or two to
okay.
help with some?
Yes. So you might be dating someone who's your nurturer. They're nurturing. They're your nurturer. That's what this person is for you, okay? You've been with her for 5 years. She makes dinner for you. She cooks. She irons your clothes. She's always there for you. While she's been doing this, she's been going to school to get her degree in internal medicine, okay? So she's just a nurturing person, this woman, right?
Yeah.
All right, so now she's doing her first year as an intern, and she's no longer there to cook for you. She's no longer there to iron your clothes. She's off somewhere else. So if what attracted you to her was the fact that she's very nurturing, and now that she's not nurturing, what happens is you're no longer going to be attracted to her. Do you get that? It's what brought you into the relationship won't necessarily keep you there if that very thing leaves, if it's missing, if it's gone. So then what there is to do is to look and reevaluate the relationship and look and see who else it is that she can be for you, so you're not managing her as a nurturer. Because if you're still managing her as a nurturer and she's not showing up as such, your heart's expectations are not going to be fulfilled, and you're going to start hurting. So you want to create a different label that's consistent with your experience.
Okay, so you still can want to have the nurturing, and yet that may not come from the same person or the same ways.
Right, or exactly. You want to co-create who she's going to be for you now. So if she's no longer the nurturer for you, then who is she going to be? Do you understand what I'm saying about that? So it's people, because this is what happens, is that people get in relationships and they're married for 8 years, 9 years, and people change. People transform, and then we still manage them and expect them to be the people that they were when we met them, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 years ago. So that's why I talk about the power of agreement and the power of creating labels that work for you. What's a label now that can work for you? So instead of her being your nurturer, what's another label that she could take on?
Can you share? Did you change for being able to become friends with your ex spouse? Was there a label shifting that took place for you?
Absolutely, absolutely. He was my protector, you know, and as a seaplane, remember that's the vessel that he was on the Sea of Love. As a seaplane, that's what a seaplane does. Their job is to protect, to fly over, put out fires and, you know, like that. And so my ex-husband was my protector, and then after we divorced, he was no longer my protector, so it was very important that I created a new label that would be consistent with how he was showing up for me in life. And so what I created was a parenting partner.
Ah.
And so when I created parenting partner, it shifted my perception, and therefore it altered my expectations, and then there was no more upset or disappointment.
Wow. Wow. Talk about a powerful way to change perceptions. I mean, we're used to, if we go in our kitchen or so, you know, so many rooms in our house, the garage for guys, there's labels on stuff. This is this seasoning. This is this box that has these things, and labels that we rely on to identify what to expect inside of the package.
Right. There you go. That's right. Well, context is decisive, and that's what we're doing. We're shifting the context. You know, and context is given by labels.
Yeah. And
so,
wow.
Just to complete the scenario that I was doing, you know, instead of you, I was using you in this case, but instead of relating to this person as your nurturer, now that she's, you know, working as an intern or what have you, it could actually be someone who's, you know, your life, your financial partner, your partner with your finances or something. You just would have to find a different label that's consistent with who she's committed to being and what works for you. And if that can't happen, then the relationship will terminate.
Yeah, okay. So the new label may not be a fit for being involved in a marriage.
Right, because you may be the sort of ship, if you will, that needs nurturing. Right? So you need to be in a relationship that provides nurturing. And that's why relationships come to an end, because everything is based on agreement. What makes things real in the world is agreement, okay? It's just like a red light, the red stoplights. We all agree that we stop at the red light. Now, if we didn't agree, we'd have a lot of chaos, right? But the agreement is, if the light is red, we stop. So it's the same thing with relationships. There must be agreement to make the relationship real. Otherwise, it becomes a fantasy and it becomes an illusion, which, you know, that leads to absurdity and disappointment. So it's important that you create labels that you agree on, whether the agreements are silent or spoken. There must be an agreement on who you're going to be for each other.
Ah, wow. Okay, that's huge. Now, as we're kind of getting down to the last, about 5-6 minutes here, I'm wondering if we could get to, like, is there a number one thing a person can do in order to get over their ex, and I love this phrase, and on with their next?
Yes. The number one thing is to get to a space where you truly know that you complete yourself. You complete you.
Oh,
you
so that Tom Cruise movie was kind of misleading us a little. Where he would say, he said to that to Renee Zellweger in that movie, "You complete me," and that was like this big romantic moment, and then they got all happy with each other. And you're saying, "Wait a minute here."
Right. Right. Well, see, unfortunately, Ken, if we live our lives like someone else completes us when they're no longer in the picture, that would leave us incomplete.
Ooh.
You get it?
Yeah, like, don't leave me, please.
Yeah, right. You don't leave me. I'll be incomplete. I'll be half a person.
Like, well, the phrase, here's my better half.
Yeah,
that's
right. So that means without, yeah.
Without.
Yeah, without my better half, then I'm left with the less, or the worst half. So the most important thing really, really is that we get, really, really get that we are the source of our completion. We complete us. Me complete me. Yeah? And how you get to that is to understand that the treasure that you hunt, the treasure that you find, that leaves you complete, is not on someone else's ship, but it's within. And when you can complete you, what's available when you move on to your next is someone who enhances you.
Wow. You know what I was envisioning as you were describing that was this idea, because there's so many different types of abusive relationships. And when we're looking for someone to complete us and they supposedly have the stuff, then all of a sudden it's like, well, piracy becomes important. I've got to board that other ship and get my goodies from them.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
And then typically piracy wasn't considered like an act of love that I've heard of. It was kind of like more nasty and hurtful or abusive in some way. So So here you are reminding us that we don't have to look to someone else for our fulfillment.
That's right. Absolutely. It's always an inside job. Freedom is an inside job. Life is an inside job. There's nobody out there. That's how I live, always. There's nobody out there. Everybody on some level of is a reflection of me. You're a reflection of me. I'm a reflection of you. And we're all reflections of each other, for better or for worse. Like, if you're seeing it, you're being it.
Ah, it comes back to that loop there. So if we want, for instance, nurturing, then how about we do some nurturing of ourselves?
Absolutely. You know, I love Reverend Michael Beckwith. He said this wonderful thing. He said, if you're dying, go buy a plant and give it life.
Mm.
If the doctor tells you you're dying, go buy a plant. Find a plant that's wilting away, that's just on its last leg, and give it life.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
So that we can actually see transformation right in front of our own eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you give the most what you need the most.
Wow. Okay.
What you need the most. So if you're watering a plant, if you're nurturing a plant that's dying, as that plant comes to life, if you can see it, you can be it.
Okay, so we get, in that case, an external example of how our good energy can transform our circumstances. And in the process of doing that, it's sort of like we had to nurture something outside of ourselves, like that plant. We had to get some nurturing feelings first inside of ourselves, didn't we?
Yeah, we got to connect with that energy.
Yeah. So you could knock it in on us then.
Yeah, if you could see it, then you can be it. That's where you find that one thing. You're like the guy who his wife was cheating. Find that one thing and work on that. Remove that element, remove that vibration of cheating from your life, and as you can see it removed, then, you know, if you can see it, you can be it. There's just nobody out there. It's all a reflection. We're all reflections of each other, and it's just such a generous gift to be able to have such information at our fingertips if we're just willing to open our eyes and really see it. Like, wow, okay, yeah, I got that. Okay, I can see that that's what I was doing in the relationship, and, you know, correction and transformation. It's really powerful.
Mm, wow. And will there be, because I can imagine, I am just feeling better. I was able to, in looking at your book, bring some completion to what's been almost a year away from someone that to me was the person that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. And now it was like, constantly thinking about, wow, if I'd have only done this, if she'd have done that, if we'd have done this, it could have been, it could have been, it could have been. And the reality was I needed to be able to let go of it. And through going through some of these exercises and changing some labels and identifying that situation, that external circumstance wasn't really about me and showing up more for myself, it's like, I will likely be bumping into her perhaps within a couple of hours at an outdoor event. And I feel excited about being around her and not attached to whether she likes me or doesn't like me. It's just like, wow, she was a gift to my life. And, you know, Troy, this your book. This is wonderful.
Oh, that's great, Ken. Thank you. It really pleases me to know that you got value and value that you can actually use on the court. That was my intention, so thank you. I'm really touched by that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, as we wrap up, would you please share your website again and how people can reach you for getting the book and coaching with you and sharing their stories or their problems so that they can be addressed?
Absolutely, yes. I can be reached at www.troycircle.com. Circle is CIRCLE.com. And the book is currently available at Amazon.com, and it's X-free, E-X-F-R-E-E. And coaching is also available on Troy Circle or at TroyCircle.com.
Thank you, Troy. I so appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to share this valuable information with my listeners and myself. And
just pleasure.
Just wish you great success in what you're doing, and all of you out there, get that book. Send her questions. Take advantage of some of the high-quality coaching for free. I mean, this is amazing. Troy, thank you. God bless you. And you keep on with your work there.
Okay, Ken, thank you very much. I really appreciate the time that you've allowed me to share with you and your listeners today.
You're welcome.
I wish you a powerful experience with your ex.
Thank you. It is already done. I claim it. And there, all my listeners, claim this for yourselves and tune in next week. We'll have more fun and adventures on Advanced Living Radio. Until we meet again, I want to say God bless you and goodbye for now.
Let go and let God, let myself.